Welcome, all fellow wannabes. Welcome to Wannabe Music Reviews from Wannabe Critic Productions. I'm your host, Gabriel Fast, and today we are interviewing She Kills Me Deeply. I'm here with Christian today. Yeah, what's up, man? How's it going? You're over there in Australia. There's got to be a little bit of a delay in internet, you know what I mean? But how are you feeling over there?
No, I'm feeling good. It's a bit of a hot day at the moment, so sweating a little bit.
Nice. You got bad. You were talking about you had a bad internet. Do you have bad air conditioning too over there? Or is it, are you guys just, you know,
the air conditioning is really good, actually.
Okay, that's good. There's this this show I used to watch, or I still watch it. I love it. It's called Flight of the Conchords. And I don't know. Have you ever gotten to watch any of that before? Have you ever heard of it?
No, I know it's really popular, but I'm not like that into movies and like TV shows. So I don't really watch. Really watch that.
Gotcha. Yeah, they're always like kind of making jokes about how Australia is like so much better than America, you know, in like every way. So I mean, it looks gorgeous. I mean, how have you guys done with like the pandemic and like dealing with that? Is it any better over there than it is over here?
Yeah, I would say it's a lot better. I mean, we had like a few lockdowns, but live music's starting to open back up now, and we pretty much only have to wear masks on trains. So, yeah, everyone's moving about again.
That's awesome. That's nice.
What's it like over there?
It's horrible. I mean, it's still, you have half of the country that basically refuses to abide. So, you know, it's pretty much like the way someone put it the other day. Yeah. They're like, if only part of the people wear masks and, you know, if one person basically doesn't wear a mask, it's like that one kid that pees in the pool with everybody else, basically. Like, it just doesn't really matter. So, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. We live out in the country. So there is
that, right?
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's American culture. It's the worst. And there's a reason I think why everyone else hates America, you know, hates America and hates Americans. It makes a lot of sense, actually.
I definitely don't hate America or Americans. Just putting that out there.
Well, okay. Well, you could have fooled me. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, look at us. We're better than we have better COVID. We got better air conditioning. You guys suck. Like that's no, I'm just kidding.
We have worse internet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can't be much worse than what I got over here. Christian, for real though, thank you very much for coming on the show, for sitting down, you know, to take a little bit of time to talk about, you got some exciting things happening over there, in your area, in your neck of the woods. You recently put out two singles.
Yeah.
Now I'm assuming this is for a record that's going to be coming out in the next year or so, correct?
No, these ones aren't for a record, but there is one in the mix.
Okay. So you're just kind of like promoting. You're like getting people hyped. You're trying to, let me guess your strategy. I want to guess, because this is actually really interesting to me.
Yeah. So,
we live, you know, our generation. I don't know how old you are. How old are you?
23.
You're 23. Okay. So yeah, I'm 25. So we're about pretty much in the same age group. So we live in a day and age now where most people who are listening to music, it's like playlist culture, right? Like you want that song to like end up on a playlist, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully that gains enough traction to where eventually people will go digging for your other music. So is that kind of your strategy, is like to put out some like banger singles to get people interested in the name and in the brand? That way they'll come back and listen to the record once it's done.
Kind of. I've worked with a lot of other projects, and you always see, especially when no one knows you, that if you put out a bunch of songs in one go, the first two maybe have some listens and then it just tapers out, because no one wants to hold the attention of people they don't want to listen to. So it was basically, to be honest, the strategy was I just wanted to get something out there. And it's just that kind of like I'm allowed to evolve track to track if I'm not putting it all in one go. So like I Need You is quite different to Long Drives, which will be different to the next one, but they all have like similar themes running between them.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think,
yeah,
you know, you sent me the track for I Need You. We were supposed to, it's a funny story, we were supposed to connect, it's been about 3 weeks ago at this point. We had a horrible ice storm here, and it was my bad, really. I didn't realize that you guys are like 16 hours ahead, you know, because in my mind I was like, oh, like a full day ahead basically. I wasn't really thinking about that. And that was my bad. You should have been on the show much sooner. But and on the bright side, though, we were able to kind of get you in to talk about these two songs. And it's kind of hype. We'll be featuring those within the pod. We'll put both of them in there for sure. I kind of wanted to talk about it because you sent me I Need You and just the entire vibe. I got to say, you know, because you had put out the first song, Staring at Cars, or the name of the first track. What was the name of the
Talking
track?
To Empty Cars, yeah.
Yeah, Empty Cars. And that was just like real delicate and like real peaceful and, you know, really emotional. It was good quality. Like it sounded like a really good song. And then you come out with I Need You. And man, like what a paradigm shift. Like it is so much different. And I remember messaging, you know, kind of going back and forth and being like, you know, this is awesome. Like, I love this. I can't really think of anyone on the dot that it sounded exactly like, except for, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, I can hear a little bit of Prince in here, maybe a little 1975, but it sounded pretty unique. So how, you know, with I Need You, how did you kind of get that flow going? Had you had that in your head for a while, or was there, you know, kind of the producers kind of revving you up a little bit and working with the idea? Like, what was that process like?
So the way I do it is I usually write it all before I take it to a producer and then just try to embellish it with the producer. But I wrote I Need You almost 2 years ago now, or maybe like 17, 18 months ago. And I just did it as a exercise going into writing other songs. I was just like, oh, maybe I can do something a bit poppy. And it was, for the longest time, it went for a minute. It was just the intro and the chorus. But then when I got to compiling all my demos, I couldn't get past it. Like, I was like, all right, this is something. But I left it for a while I tried to work on other stuff. And I showed a few people the demos and they're like, this song's cool. Like, go with that. And I just kept building on it and took it to the studio and we just made it sound really nice.
Yeah, no, I think, man, it was one of those things. It's like whenever you hear something so different for the first time. I'll never forget the first time I sat down to actually like listen to like metal. You know what I mean? Like an actual metal act. And it was, you listen to it the first time and you're like, I don't know how I feel about this, right? And you keep listening and like you kind of give yourself time to sit with it. And this is really, you know, metal is the reason I think I actually spend so much time critiquing music in general, because you talk about an idea that whenever you sit a certain amount of time with it, you kind of put yourself in the perspective of the people that made the music. And it's like, it makes it even more interesting of where did they have to get to actually get that, to make it sound like that. And I think with I Need You, the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, this is really different, you know. But then I spun it like probably another two or three times. And by the end of it, like you sent me that song, what, like a month ago? And now like I'll be at my computer and I'm just like, I need you. Probably. You know, I'll be like singing it at my desk, you know. And I think that's the good sign. I mean, if your goal was to make it a pop song, you did that. As you can see, you know, as you can see and listen to, you know, whether you're a video listener or an audio listener, you know, our friend Christian here has some talent for sure. And I think I think it's one of those things too, where whenever you reach out to an artist that's relatively, I don't want to say unknown, to think you're at what, like 2,700 followers on Instagram now at this point, something like that.
Yeah.
So you're gaining traction with that. I don't know how we connected. I think it was maybe through Reckless, potentially. Was that how we got into touch?
We connected. You reviewed, I think, The Dead Love.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I just hit you up and I was like, yeah, that's a sick review, man.
Okay, that's right.
The Dead Love, yeah, love them. The dude's a producer that like works with all the bands in Australia that are like hot. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. Okay, that makes more sense then. Yeah, Dead Love, go give them some love for sure, because those guys rock.
Straight out.
But She Kills Me Deeply also rocks too with I Need You. And that was a really banger of a song. Now, did you just do vocals on that record? Or, I mean, what all did you do?
All right. So I brought to producer Michael McGlynn, great producer. Basically what the song was, it had a similar structure, but we sat down, we kept the original guitars that I had in the demos. So those are my guitars, but then we got in a bassist, I forget his name now, but he plays in a kind of big kids like music band. And he was a freak on bass.
What do you mean kids group? Like the Wiggles? Are we talking about like the Wiggles or what?
Like, yeah, like that kind of genre, like really? Playing in that. Yeah, but he was absolutely crazy on the bass, man. And we just sat down and we'll like play this, play that, like you vibe it, and we'll just cut it up and see what we like. And then I let Michael work his magic on the drums, like figuring out where the hits are because they're all programmed. And then I hit up one of the producers that I used for long drives to just add little finishing touches on some of the guitars. So yeah, it's a big collaboration for the band work on that one. And yeah, all the vocals are mine. Some of them are still from the demo, like a lot of the haze and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there definitely is, you know, that was one thing that struck me about it. And I think in comparison to long drives, Long Drives definitely sounds more heavily produced, whereas I think I Need You kind of has a more of like a garage, like raw type vibe to it, but in a good way. Like it's relatable, but it's also impressive. And I think that song does exactly what it needs to do. And it definitely hits all the marks. So, you know, good on you. It's always interesting for me to talk to other musicians because, you know, I play music as well and I try and kind of produce my own stuff and do my own
thing. Yeah, you're actually quite good too.
Oh, I don't know. I just try. I do my best. You know, I just like it. I don't know.
I've watched your live streams, bro. Don't lie.
I'm not trying to lie. It's the weirdest thing ever where, you know, when I'm sure you can attest to this, like when someone's like, oh, you're so good. And it's like, literally just playing a G chord, dude. Like, you know what I mean? It can be hard to take a compliment, I think, at times. But I definitely appreciate
it. It can be very hard to take a compliment.
I appreciate you saying that. But I'm always interested, right, in talking to other musicians and talking to people who have been a part of productions and have like worked on stuff and hearing them say what that experience was like. Cause for me, whenever I work on something, I do everything myself. Except on the mixing and mastering end most of the time. So for me, whenever I go into an idea, I usually have a pretty clear idea of how I want the drums to sound, of how I want the bass to sound, of how I want everything to sound before I actually do it. And then if I can't execute that in post, then it probably doesn't usually get done, or I spend a lot of time working on it. One or the
other.
Do you find yourself kind of dealing with that similar type of thing?
I used to be the same.
Yeah. I want to hear about that.
Yeah, definitely. So like, in this room around me is like the kind of room I set up to be my like home studio. My issue was that I just can't get the sounds that I want to get. I'm not that great of a audio engineer. So like, I'm not great at using plugins and, you know, clipping stuff together, but I can make like a basic demo. And then I went into work with the producers for I Need You and Long Drives separately. And I kind of just told them, like, I want to be able to produce this as well. So it was a co-production. I basically had all the ideas, worked with them. But ultimately, I was kind of like overseeing it as it was getting done. Yeah, I just feel like that's how I like to work, is to be able to drive the project forward, but also allow people that are better at what they do than I am to flourish.
Yeah, and I think that's the sign of a true producer. And I think that's whenever it hit me. I was like, okay, I want to produce music, you know, or produce audio for whatever. I'll do it for voice. I'll do it for, you know, instruments, whatever. I just want to get good at all of it. And if you can't find the time to get good at all of it, you want to hire someone that literally is willing to be like, okay, I want this to sound a little more clean, or I want the EQs to be a little less crisp here or whatever, and get them to execute that sound to where at the end of the day, you pretty much get exactly what you want and there's no like guessing it, which sounds kind of like what you're doing.
Yeah. It's all about knowing your skill set. Like I know where I like lack in production, but I also know that my strengths are in songwriting and hook writing. And yeah, having the vision, but not particularly having all the skill sets within that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It's nice to hear someone else's kind of perspective on that. So we talked a lot about I Need You, you know, and you released that. I mean, you were working on that pretty much the last 6 months, right? I mean, kind of getting that, all that together, shooting music videos for it, doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
What was that process? I mean, how was that with the music video? Was that kind of awkward? Because the music video is cool, like in the white room and you got the people around you and it looks very it looks very rock star. You know what I mean? And I think it definitely does a good job. Was that weird for you, or were you like totally into it? Like theater basically.
I was so into it. I used to do drama at school. I got asked to leave, but I quite enjoyed it. I was just mess up in class. It wasn't like that I was bad. But yeah, it was basically mostly a team of like friends. So the person who directed it and edited it and shot it, his name's Connor Neal. He's amazing at what he does. So it was basically just us working together to figure out where we're going to hire. And then on the bass, I got my friend Zach, another freak bassist. Had my friend Eric on the guitars, and then Connor found Tilly, who was the girl in the video. And we just had a vibe, you know, when we weren't recording, we're just pumping like some Travis Scott and some music to like chill to. Just a fun vibe, which I think helped, you know, reflect that in the video.
Yeah, I think the video definitely does a good job of matching the production of, you know, the sound. I have to ask too, whenever you rapped on it, was it kind of like, okay, awesome? Like, was it bittersweet? It's like, oh yeah, this thing's done, but like now you're not going to be doing that exact same idea again. I mean, what was that like?
It's kind of like an afterglow feeling. Like you're done, you're really happy for like a day or two. And then afterwards I was like, what's this going to look like? I hope it doesn't come out really bad. Cause I'm not, first of all, like my computer doesn't allow me to do anything with video. It's that old. So like, I don't have any control over that. And also it's just weird putting your vision in trust with someone else, but Connor does an amazing job every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely can attest to that. It's like, hey, you should let me try and edit one of your videos. It's like, I don't know, man. how about not? Thank you, but no, thank you. Yeah, I need you. It's obviously a banger.
Like, I can only run iMovie.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Then say no more. Like you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Well, it's good that you had someone you trusted with. I think it came out good though. The music video is dope. And the song is definitely dope as well. So there's I Need You. I wanted to kind of move these along because originally we were just supposed to talk about the first song, but now we have two songs to talk about. So the second song, which is Long Drives, this one was another surprise to me. As soon as I heard this song, that's whenever it hit me. I was like, She Kills Me Deeply is going to be a name I think people are going to be hearing more often. Especially like in more of like the underground scene, you know, I think about a time not too long ago where you would have heard about a band like named Citizen or a band named like Basement or, you know, something like that, kind of along those lines. And it's like, dude, have you heard these guys? And then all of a sudden, you know, in all of these clubs and stuff like that, you see Basement and like Title Fight and like all of these like semi smaller names. And I think relatively still small now. I mean, I think if you ask the average person, hey, have you ever heard of Citizen? They're going to say no, but I think for people that like the same type of music that we like, you know, like the Dead Love and stuff like that, I think definitely She Kills Me Deeply is going to be a name that could potentially reach the heights of something like that, which is super exciting. It just depends on you, you know, and where you're going to go with it. But Long Drives is by far, out of the three things I've heard from, you know, what you've done over there, it's probably my favorite one. It reminds me of like, it gives me similar vibes as to like a more ballad-esque Deftones, like kind of the stuff that Chino Moreno does, like with Team Sleep and stuff like that. Super like synthetic sounding in a lot of ways, like with the dual vocals and things like that. And just a super dope song. I love the energy of, you know, and I heard you kind of talking about your girlfriend, like you hadn't seen your girlfriend and you were talking about how you were on your way to go, you know, you're on your way. Go ahead and tell that story really fast. I don't want to tell it for you. You do that.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, thanks for all the compliments. I am struggling to take them, but I appreciate it. Yeah. So basically the story was, I had to get a COVID test. It was early on and we just started a lockdown and my COVID test got lost in the mail, something crazy. And I had to go get another one. So it was like going to take even longer to get the result. And I was just kind of sitting there doing nothing. And I was like, just humming along. And I was like, oh, it's a long night, got a long drive. It's basically like, I just had these flashbacks of coming back from like nights out in an Uber, like, oh yeah, I just rock up to my girlfriend's house. And yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. I just started singing it and was able to build upon that like kind of idea from there.
I think what's special about that song, thank you for telling the story too. You told it way better than I did. But now that we know the story, hearing the song, I think it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And, you know, we'll take a second to play that really fast. That way people can kind of know what we're talking about. It's a long night, got a long drive, going 1-8 to the M5, just to get back to you. Speeding through these city lights, yeah, got me beaming with them pretty eyes, yeah, could be making it tonight, yeah, just to get you back on my side. So kind of like what you were saying before about how the song made you feel, it's like, you know, kind of whimsical of sorts of how things used to be, how things once were. I kind of feel like that can resonate with everybody because we've all been through the COVID thing, right? But on top of that, we have memories. Imagine if COVID wasn't there. The idea of missing your loved one, of missing your girlfriend or whatever, or wishing things used to be a certain way that they had been before and they're not anymore. I think the vibes definitely come through on this track. And
yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of had to travel to see someone they want to be with at some point, even if it's just like the friends, man. Like if you go to travel somewhere, it's just a good driving song.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And also it makes me think of like you know, long drives at nighttime, right? With like the windows down and like you're just vibing. It's just a total vibe song. You know what I mean? But I take it a step further and like really read into the way the song makes me feel. And like, for me, I think this would be a song that like fifth grade Gabe would be like just listening to like on his way home, walking to school and like thinking about like how my life was so hard or like so different just because the vibes are there, right? Like I think the song has a lot of power behind it, you know, and whenever you can do that and you can make people reflect on their life and the things that they've done in the past, I think that's always what the goal is. I said this in a recent review on something. I was like, oftentimes you'll hear artists talk about what a certain song was about. And then when someone else says, oh, I thought it was about this, this, and this, the artist usually is like, I never thought of it that way, but that totally could work. You know what I mean? And it's interesting how you can have a relationship with your work like that. What do you think like the weirdest thing has happened? Like, has there been like a moment where you're like, oh my God, like this might actually happen type thing with either one of these songs?
No, not particularly. Like, it's usually after I first make it. Like, for example, both I Need You and Long Drives. Like, after I show someone or after I've just made it, I'm walking around and I'm like humming the melody to myself. I can remember it straight away, which is, a good sign. But then when someone else, like, I show them and 5 minutes later, they're kind of humming it as well. And I'm like, oh, all right. Like, you caught on to this. Like, it's catchy. Yeah, this one I knew from the beginning. I was like, yeah, this is like catchy. I just need to build the verses around it, and that took me forever.
Yeah, so what's your like lyrical process, especially like with a song like this where it's kind of has it could have multiple layers of meaning behind it. I mean, what is like your lyrical process? Do you just write a bunch of things down first and then come up with music later, or do you kind of get like an idea of a melody in your head and then go from there?
I'm always trying different techniques just to, switch things up so I don't end up with the same kind of ideas over and over again. But with this one, it was, I did all the music first, and then would hum along or like sing, like da da da, in different melodies. And once I settled on one I liked, I started like building on the original idea, which was the driving to see someone. Yeah. But honestly, like there was probably, I think I've had like seven different verses for verse one and two. Like it took me that long to settle on one that I liked.
Well, I think that's what makes a good song. I remember I was in high school and I used to write songs all the time. I haven't written one in a long time, but there was a girl there that had like some super solid songs, like were super talented. And I remember
Yeah.
for me, my songwriting process is once I have something that I like, I don't change it ever again. Like it doesn't change at all. So like basically the night I sit down to write it, that's what the song is. Like it doesn't change. And it's like a really stubborn process. And I know that's not the right thing, but I remember hearing this girl play this beautiful song. And I was like, oh my God, like you could have won a Grammy for that just then. And I was like, how long did that take you? And she was like, oh, about 6 years. And I was like, 6 years to
That's
work
a
on
while.
one song? Like, I was like, it kind of made me not want to talk to her again. I was like, you're a freak. Like, who takes sick, but the product she got out of it was obviously very personal to her. And it kind of seems like that might be a similar process for you. It's like, is it kind of the thing of like whenever you're working on it, you know you're close, but you're like, you know what? No, that's not right. Like that feels right, but I know that's not right. Like, what makes it to where you're like, okay, that's the take. Like that's the thing that I need to use. Like what clicks for you?
Usually it's just a lot of thinking I got it and then sitting on it for a week, working on other stuff, not listening to it and coming back to it and then being like, this ain't it. Like
This ain't
you can
it.
just feel it. Even, yeah, exactly. Like you can feel it. Because everything sounds good in the moment. Even like when I was at the studio recording it, we'd go home and I'd be like, cool, this song sounds done. And then I'd come back the next day. I'm like, dude, I think it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, and that's, that makes a lot of sense. I think there's been times where it makes a lot of sense whenever you have someone else mixing and mastering your stuff, because to you, whenever you're working on it, it all sounds good, and then you go and listen to it in the car with like a trusted friend, and it's like, holy crap, like this sounds
Oh,
so
yeah.
bad. And that's the worst feeling ever, because you spent hours like mixing this thing over and over and over and over and over again, or working on whatever, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do, but you just keep working on it, and eventually it gets better.
Yeah, with the mix, I felt so bad for Nick. So I did this song with a producer called Nick Franklin, and I think I got him to mix it about six times. Like I just kept being like, no, this is slightly too low. This is slightly too high.
Yeah.
Change this. I felt bad, but he's such a G. He just did it straight away. He's great.
That's awesome. So like with I Need You, you had kind of told me that like we had talked about the 1975 a little bit, and I only mentioned that one because I know that had been some of your influence behind that particular song. What about
I'm
Long
wearing a
Drives?
1975 shirt right now.
Oh, look at you go. Man, talk about a band that just continues to thrive. I mean, with every single record, I mean, it's crazy how big their
Yeah, they
audience has
changed so
grown.
much.
They really have, and good for them. Make music that you want to make. Do the thing. Here's the thing. Do the thing that you want to do, because somebody clip this if you're listening to it or watching it. From me and Christian, Do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. And if you like it, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Like, just do whatever you got to do to feel fulfilled, because, you know, life can suck sometimes, and it's, you know, you got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy your time here. So, you know, do what you got to do. Right, Christian?
Clip that. Yeah, straight out. Clip that.
Straight up. So, you know, you kind of talk about the 1975 was a little bit of the inspiration. What about long drives? I mean, because, and I only say this, like, nothing is ever original anymore. Like, sometimes I will literally sit down and it's like, oh my God, like, that kind of has like a Queens of the Stone Age type vibe too. Like, I want to work with that or run with that. Did you have anything like that at any point with long drives? You're like, oh, that kind of sounds like such and such.
I keep getting a lot of different comparisons. So like a lot to 90s sort of rock. To be honest, I don't particularly know where I got it from. I know that at the time I was listening to Youngblood a bit, but I was also listening to like, let me see, who was it? Wonder Years. So I don't know. It doesn't sound like too much of either of them. I think there's a big Chase Atlantic influence in there though, especially in the verses.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it reminds me of like being young and like being like 5, 6, 7 years old and hearing that type of music on the radio. And like, I don't know, like, remember, I don't know how big of a gamer you are, but for whatever reason, like Gran Turismo, like, is playing in my head, like a little bit, like something that I might've heard on that soundtrack or something back in the day, like on the PS1. I don't know. I was like, it feels nostalgic, but I've never heard it before. And the fact that you got those vibes, if it's resonating with me, I know for a fact it's going to resonate with other people, which is pretty interesting. Just out of curiosity, what have been some of the comparisons that you've gotten?
I got Smashing Pumpkins, I believe. I've had a lot of Chase Atlantic comparisons, with this one. There was, you know, a bit of Youngblood, a bit of I forget who it is. It's just mostly just like other pop based kind of rock bands.
Yeah, I could definitely see the pop. Yeah, too,
some of them. Yeah, see, that's crazy because I get that quite a bit, especially like my older stuff that I used to show people, but I never really listened to them that much.
Well, you know, it just goes to show that, like I said, you know, nothing's ever original anymore. It's like, so you're always going to be compared to somebody else until you make the next new thing. And, you know, who knows whenever that's going to be. But I think the song's fine.
I'd love to be as big as the Pumpkins.
Yeah, no, I think anyone would, right? Yeah, that'd be amazing. So you released two singles like back to back, basically within 3 or 4 weeks of each other. Is there any plans to release something new with, you know, in the next few weeks that we can expect?
Yeah, so I think it's been 6 weeks since I Need You. Can expect something. I won't give you like an exact time frame, but in the next like 1 or 2 months.
In the next 1 or 2 months. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, that's
going to be very fresh. I'm writing it like as we speak.
Oh, okay. Right on. Cool. So it's going to be triumphant. I can already tell. It's post-COVID. Things are great. I Need You is a banger. Long Drives is a banger. Yeah. And this, watch this one. And next I'll be reviewing it on my channel. Is like, what happened to She Kills Me Deeply? He fell off so bad. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's heavy.
With She Kills Me Deeply, you know, this project, I have to ask the question, you know, this is going to be one of the last questions I ask. She Kills Me Deeply. What does that mean to you? Like, how did you come up with that idea? What is that supposed to mean?
So I believe I was at a park and I used to write every single day in the morning. And I'd write lyrics, I'd write poems. And the closing line to one of the poems was, "She kills me deeply." And it just stuck with me. And I was like, I need to call something that. And I just thought about it a little bit more. And it really like kind of encapsulates the way I write my music, which is like personifying different, you know, trials and tribulations or just different emotions as a woman. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you have it. That's what it means. Yeah, thank you for elaborating on that. It makes sense. It would make, it does seem very poetic. It does seem kind of like, it seems like it has some depth to it. And, you know, that's cool. That's cool to hear what it, what,
yeah, it, it also sounds really emo, like the old school emo bands. And I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It definitely does have what's like, you know, super scene kid esque, you know what I mean? So yeah, like there you go. Like very emo, yeah. But that's a good,
like,
thing.
Very Hawthorne Heights.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Totally. Hawthorne,
like
Heights.
Hawthorne Heights lyrics.
Yeah. Or it's like, it would have been like a Fall Out Boy song title, you know?
Oh, like, that's such a compliment.
Yeah. Like it's like a song title. It's like, what does this even mean? Or we'll take it even a step further. Chiodos. Go back and look at some of Chiodos's song lyrics. Like, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs make money, something or rather. Like, just super, you know, things that just makes you go, huh, okay. Obviously, it meant something to them, and I want to know what that meant, you know, to you, and what makes you stuck with that as being your project name. So, there you have it. Christian, it's been a lot of fun to sit down with you for, you know, 30 or so minutes and hear you kind of elaborate on these projects, and, you know, we got to show off a little bit of the... you know, the music that you've made, and I apologize that it's taken, you know, so long and there's been such a delay to talk about it, but why don't you give everyone a plug and let us know where we can find your stuff and what we can expect in the future.
You can find all my stuff on any streaming service that you have, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, all that. Long Drive should be up on YouTube soon. It should all be on YouTube eventually. New music 2021. For the rest of the year, there will be more than enough songs for you to listen to. Yeah, hit me up at Instagram, She Kills Me Deeply.
There you go. There you've had it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Wannabe Music Reviews. It's an interview today from Wannabe Critic Productions. It's been a lot of fun. This is my second one that we've done. You can obviously stay tuned for more of these. We have a lot of artists that are coming up to talk to. You know, we have Kyrie. You can go look him up on Instagram. We also have Passion Flower. It's going to be coming on the show eventually. And also, we wanted to take just a moment to thank our Patreon producers for this episode. Emma Fast. We also have Zoe Chanel. We also have Luke Collins. We have HH Waxbar. And also to the other patrons who, you know, have subscribed at various tiers. If you want to go check out patreon.com/wannabecritic, you can do that. If you don't have, you know, a couple bucks to throw towards this stuff, that is obviously no problem. There's no pressure there. I appreciate the fact that you made it through this entire podcast and even listened to me talk about this. So thank you for supporting me. Thank you for continuing to support the productions. Make sure you peep links down below for various things, Pop Cult USA, Raise Energy, and all the various other projects that we have going on. So I'm always very excited. I'm always very honored to bring you things that I feel need to be talked about, need to be showcased. And shout out to Christian for being on, because it was an absolute prep. It was an absolute pleasure, and I'm super duper excited to see where She Kills Me Deeply is going to be in the next couple of years. So, Christian, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. This is only my second time doing it. Sick. So, yeah, I mean, that's all it goes. So, thank you.
Dude, you're
good at it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to do the, you know, the talk show thing. You know what I mean? I have to ask. I hope you felt comfortable. I hope it made you feel good. You know what I mean? I hope you feel happy.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, I definitely did. And you're good at talking off the cuff. I'd be stuck if I had to talk like that much and just keep asking questions.
Yeah, no, I try my best to keep going. And, you know, I don't know. I want everyone to feel, you know, I want the, you know, the ladies and the gents out there. I want them to feel like they're right there with us, like listening to it. And I think if I was listening to it, that's how I'd want to feel. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to let us know what you think, definitely hit me up. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know how I can improve. I would definitely appreciate it. So, Christian, is there anything else you want to say to the fine folks before we sign off?
No, just listen to the music and subscribe to Gabe's Patreon.
Oh, snap. Shots fired. Thank you so much to Christian. I appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are signing off. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Hey there. So, you have stumbled onto one of the many projects that we have over at Wannabe Critic Productions. This just happens to be the music project. I review music and I have ideas to do other things music related on the YouTube channel and the podcast. I just have to say thank you so much for checking it out. I really, really appreciate it. But if you want to check out more stuff that we have going on over on our, you know, various projects, I encourage you to go check out some of the projects in the description down below, whether it be our YouTube channel where we post podcasts. There's going to be Let's Plays, there's reviews, there's interviews, there's all kinds of things over there. But we've kind of morphed it to be a kind of catch-all for all the different things that we do other than music. So I encourage you to go check that out. That being said, though, thank you so much for listening today or watching today. I really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on podcast services, make sure you leave us a review. I would really appreciate it and would help, you know, keep me relevant. So I am Gabriel Fast. I will always be the Wannabe Critic.